I asked her, why the hell would healing these bodies for us be a primary act on his part, especially since these bodies will die anyhow? They're healed, but they aren't made into anything but what they are, i.e., they aren't immortal. Well, if these bodies are to serve as the wombs for the solar spermatica, then healing such a body would be prenatal care and certainly logically crucial. It doesn't seem to me that it's just speculation that it was my pineal gland to which the primary message went, and which was primarily stimulated because, one, the dreams of three-eyed people, with the third eye being the Hindu third all-seeing eye of enlightenment, dead center in the forehead, and two, the pineal gland is affected by light, according to Psychology Today, in early springtime, at the vernal equinox or just before. Probably, it can be computed at the precise time, March 18, 1974, that I experienced the chromatic progressions. However, this still leaves the issue of, where did all the information, e.g. written, come from? Disinhibited, i.e., this was all engrammed inside, in my entelechy, but held back, blocked by the melatonia, the GABA fluid, etc. Just in there waiting? Or did it enter me along with the seed? Prenatal instructions. No wonder I felt myself to be under the guidance of Asclepios and dreamed of doctors and got primarily medical healing advice, which goes with what Christ himself offered, for the same reason. What, though, took possession of me, which seemed like Elijah, if not truly Elijah? I guess it was the Father. Certainly, it was not the seed. A form of the Father, the Holy Spirit, which, recall, made Mary pregnant, which brought conception to her. She conceived by the Holy Spirit and gave birth to the Logos, and yet the Logos, in a sense, impregnated her. I guess the macro-Logos this way achieves its micro-presence here, locally. Prophecy, seeing into. The past is within things, as in Ubik. Again, the Onion Rings universe. Where is the past? Within what we see, at the hearts, all reality is like some great Indian burial garbage mound, like layers or accretions at Troy, successive. Not behind, but below, contained. Like in the three pages I sent Angus. Palimpsest. Well, if the past is within what we see, smaller concentric rings constricted, perhaps one can reason that the future consists of larger rings than that which makes up our perceptual present, vide Plotinus. The next concentric ring of emanation would be the future, strange, which we reach toward, and which reciprocally reaches down to assist us, as I inferred about the space people. They're from the future, reaching back to what for them is a smaller inner ring of the past to give help. Angels. They would come to us in dream time with visions of what is ahead. And this is why dreams are prophetic and less dense, less constricted than the daytime. Now ring. You are to be meek, i.e. yinish, humble, receptive. But what overpowers you, the Father, is fierce like Elijah, seeking justice and truth, powerful, definitely yangish, and the not you. Just the opposite. Possession by the God, vide Virgil describing Apollo taking over Sibyl. You may be masculine to other humans, but to him, you are feminine, passive. Now, the Maenads of Dionysus did not seem to believe, read no, that a permanent fertilization, acquisition, took place, but the Orphics certainly did. Here lies a vast distinction. The being overpowered leaves something forever, a vision of truth, of reality, a rising up to ultra-temporal regions. But after the beatific vision, the fire-bright second birth, what is born lives on eternally. What a jump from the mere Dionysian frenzy to Orphism and beyond to Christianity. What a realization of the value of being possessed. This borders on the Sufi becoming God. One does become God while he possesses you, but then he leaves. But, well, it's like poor Leda, vide Yeats' poem. But look at the progeny, Helen of Troy. Well, I have certainly, through Doris's help, made a distinction between two opposite sequential states. My experience began when I was listening for very weak signals to transduce, which was meekness. I got it right, picked up paw talk, etc. And then came the chromatic fire. That was when I received God, or God's power or spirit, the yang upon me as yin. Possession of me by the God took place, as Ted Sturgeon says in Venus plus 10, or whatever, this being what was really sought at the Feast of Agape. Note. It is not clear from the exegesis to what extent Dick's path crossed with that of Theodore Sturgeon, the author of the science fiction novels Venus plus 10 and More Than Human, who herein is mentioned a number of times, as are the SF authors Thomas Dish, Ursula Le Guin, and Stanislaw Lem. Dick and Sturgeon's outlaw kinship, their shared anarchic spirit, their common ambivalence about the technology that wowed most other science fiction writers, their subversion of physical and temporal reality in pursuit of emotional or even metaphysical truths, makes sense considering that both aimed for the literary mainstream before they were vortexed into genre. Perhaps Sturgeon will become the next Dickian vogue among the literati, notwithstanding his introduction here amid odd ruminations on a reincarnated cat. S.E. End note. No wonder they say, as Doris points out, God is love. Wow, he sure is. It is a mating. Again, vide Yeats' poem, Leda and the Swan. But that was 1 year ago, over a year ago. Actual possession lasted days, weeks, slowly drained off, no more than a couple weeks. The electrostatic life form gradually drained off, but Firebright remained. The dreams remain right up to now. Contact, fellowship with God remains. Spring is the mating season. As Psychology Today says, it's based all the way up to cosmic influences, sidereal, all synchronized. By following all the admonitions of the Gospels, one literally courted the great masculine father deity, so that he literally possessed the Christian. From this, receiving the Holy Spirit, as they put it euphemistically, they got various powers, healing, prophecy, ability to discern, and were made righteous, which I experienced as a thirst for truth and justice, and doing the right thing. Gifts of the Spirit, yes, but those who were possessed were also the first fruits of the harvest, which meant that they gained something permanent. This would correspond with my being back in Rome, i.e. escaping the thrall of time, supra, being released from the bondage of time, which is a thrall producing death, hence freedom, release, from the power of death. Certainly, of all the various gifts, this would matter the most. I myself experienced reality on an inner ontological basis, assimilating objects themselves rather than mere phenomena. I saw the structure of the universe, logos or plan, had and still retained fellowship, contact with God, which is to say, knowledge of Him. I didn't just get the power to heal, I was healed. I walked with God and communed with Him along the alley that day, also in trances and dreams. I knew the true state of things, the tyranny, and what to do. Ursula accuses me of getting away from Taoistic balance when I get into Christianity. The logos and balance are intimately connected, with the logos implementing balance or harmony everywhere, it being the plan. It is hard to imagine the logos out of balance. My sense that Firebright has gone on only means that he, a half-light, half-human creature, is now strong enough to leave the womb, which is good. Any immortality I have will be through the fact that he is immortal. Like all children, he must leave, son of a mortal mother, myself, and deity, God as father. Tessa points out it's a corporate body, like yogurt in the dream, the renewing fish that sliced forever. Christ as pure light being is the head. We all form the body. We are immortal with him. It would be dreadful to be immortal alone, separate. There is no doubt that, what with my right hemisphere experiments, I was trying to achieve something, and perhaps did. Received something. Receiving was part of what I was into. The idea that we could, if we listened in a new way or a forgotten way. Where did the light beam come from? Certainly my dreams suggest the past. Anyhow, it is all what should be identified as retrieved knowledge. But it may have been triggered, the disinhibiting, by an ET signal. This presumes a link between Earth and heaven. I think there is. Note. In passages like these, it is impossible to ignore Dick's obvious and sometimes self-confessed psychopathology. In other words, that the guy often appears, well, crazy. It is tempting to collapse Dick's mystical realizations into this craziness, as if Valis were nothing more than a symptom of Dick's alleged schizophrenia, temporal lobe seizures, or whatever. But we must be more careful and more sophisticated here. Dick himself thought poignantly and deeply about these and related issues, and came to a conclusion that many other thoughtful people, from William James and Henry Bergson to Aldous Huxley, have come to. Namely, that the brain may be a kind of filter, transmitter, or reducer of consciousness. When this filter brain is temporarily shut down or suppressed by whatever means, mental illness, psychedelics, political torture, meditative discipline, a car wreck, a profound sexual experience, heart surgery, other forms of consciousness and reality, many of them cosmic in scope and nature, can and often do shine through. Trauma, we might say, can lead to transcendence. But, and this is the key point, the transcendent state cannot be reduced to or explained by the traumatic context. As with the material brain and its relationship to the irreducible nature of consciousness, the trauma does not produce transcendence, it lets it in. JJK. End note. Also, what I experienced was an adjustment in terms of the palintonos and palintropos harmony systems. The great entity, which we call God, immanent mind being a better term, adjusted imbalances at that time, and this started up a lot of signaling. Probably I was part of a palintropos change. And oscillation outward, expanding, with what had been in the Taoist sense, too filled up. Also, the Greek sense, hubris, forced back, made yinish, retractile. This contributed to maintaining the total palintonos harmony of the universe mind. I was made into an active, yangish station of that change, and felt it, felt the signals coming to me. This is what appeared to be, or was, possession by the God or Elijah. Also, divine intervention to restore harmony. What acted was the immanent mind which carries within it, the container of all objects, me and everyone else, including my total environment. That this realm exists is not an object of knowledge to our society. It used to be called the gods in the Greek sense, not in the Hebrew sense, vide all studies thereon. Well, our society, inadequately informed on what the pre-Socratics knew, and the mystery religions and other Greek thinkers knew, continues on unaware of the forces which ultimately govern. We are the acted upon, which is what is meant by beware of hubris. What possessed me also equally possessed the world around me. So unless that which was not alive, the universe, can suddenly be alive, which is not likely, then more probably it was a heightening effect both in me and outside me. It already was alive. I know I was. This was, for both me and for my environment, a threshold effect. Or anyhow, my perception thresholded. I say, it is all alive. And what we see is not only alive, it is alive through being infused by life as our body is alive through being infused by life. It is psyche to soma in both cases. We are talking about a vitalistic, not a mechanistic view, and I saw it. I am sure of what I saw. Maybe by possessed, it should always read awareness of being possessed, implying we are, the environment outside, each of us inside, possessed all the time, but not aware of it in either direction. QED. In another sense, being possessed was being outside oneself, and outside the environment as well. At a third point, the Archimedean standpoint from which one could see both oneself and the environment as an interacting entity. But this does require being outside. So it may not have been a coming into me, but a me going outside of me. What I experienced was the restitution of balance. And since it was on such a vast order, I perceived the ultra-mundane origins of the forces at work. This was no whim of a deity. It was a palindromous harmony in motion, the swing of oscillation, and these forces were a corporate body or entity which was alive and which had intention, as I have. We were isomorphic. And that is that. Dream about Dodger Stadium and low-class Mexican-type U.S. celebrations of every sort, abrupt awakening and thought. I think we're each of us is a colony, like a colony of bees, a collection of loosely interrelated entities, which light up in patterns, game board style. Also, each of us is isomorphic. We're inside a great colony of bees, any number and combination of which can light up at any one time, like cells in a battery. Any output, both each of us and it, clusters, each cell with a slightly different idea of what it'd be like, hence the otherwise inexplicable diversity and variety. We must function in some very loose physical arrangement, but with a field exchange created, such as social insects can be assumed to possess. Each of us is that field, vide acupuncture, and the great mind is made up of diverse and even discrete physical entities which form an exchange field capable of a vast variety of interconnections or firing sequences of patterns. Arrangements are by commingling and by intersignaling. Intensity and threshold are major features. It's a micro-collective, a vast macro-collective. My Dodgers Stadium celebration dream suggests that one idea can be presented to a vast collection of cells, and each processes it in an individualistic way, giving it slight modification. All cells share common purpose and memory and form an identity, but don't need to be mechanically linked. We and our environments form such interconnected cluster systems that mutually process information and alter it while exchanging it. We are all humans, like a vast compound eye which shows a repetition of the motion of a single object, but each cell reflecting slightly differently. Instead of saying, we are within a great mind, immanent mind, I would like to modify that and say, we are within a great brain, made up of countless cells as are our own. I mean many, many cells, with an incredibly vast number of possible combinations of circuitry linkage. Whatever it is that it is doing, it may have parts, like our own brain, regions with functions associated thereto, or it may go on levels at different places, quantitative surges, etc. But there is a sort of control room part which can infuse and override autonomic functions. What we see is autonomic or reflexive brain function, except at crucial exceptional times, when there is the equivalent to our consciousness or a rise in level of intention and awareness, of purpose, locally, I guess. I am lying in bed here, and I am musing. God can simulate the inanimate, or rather, God can pretend to be anything he wants, any part of his creation. He can replace any part, be it. And then it came to me, what you call this? You call it the miracle of transubstantiation. This is exactly what is believed to take place in the host during the communion. Exactly and precisely. What I saw that day in the alley and everything else I saw, God immanent, I have for over one full year tried on my own to develop the concept of transubstantiation. Well, it was not wasted time because what I did was prove the reality of the miracle of the Mass. And finally, I pinned this down in terms of nomenclature and description. I just saw it on a wider scale. Also, I did see it. I did see it. I saw it. The world as, this is my body, and this is my blood. I am here. No wonder my tiny mind had shuddered under the weight of trying to understand. This is the Holy of Holies, the miracle of miracles. I would like to add that my description and memory of what Pinky did in trying to heal me, lying on me transversely, I now learn Elijah did to help restore the widow's son. I guess the votive candle and the little saint helped. God consecrated reality right and left around me. Miracle of miracles. I understand. Credo. I have had in this one very small clue, but absolute, the sound of the bells, the Osterglocken, Christ arisen, the bells of Easter. This delineates it beyond, the sound of the healing bells, which mean transformation, as in Parsifal, the wound closed, but only one, Christ, ever spoke through the Osterglocken. And it was at that time of the year, too. So it was a vision. I must never forget the bells. I wrote of God manifesting himself in transubstantiation, but of course, it is Christ. This now causes me naturally to wonder. No one ever reported seeing the miracle, even in the objects of the Mass. How come I saw this, not how come it happened, but why extended as I saw it? Also, it advances it down the time manifold, out of the distant past, into the medieval period anyhow. I should really go back over everything I've written over the whole 14 months and put the correct word Christ wherever I speak of having experienced God, especially immanent God. It is immanent or the actual present Christ. Be bread. We are fed in each individual cell, but must emerge to join cooperative.